sober.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hi there. And welcome to series two of Meet at the Hotel Bar. Not meet me at the hotel bar. Not meet M-E-A-T at the hotel bar. Meet at the hotel bar. The amount of times I'm like, oh, I've got this really cool podcast. It's called Meet at the Hotel Bar. And they're like, oh, what? Meet me at the hotel bar? I'm like, no, meet at the hotel bar.
We've got this really cool podcast.
After being tangled up in tabloid dramas, hitting the podcast charts, and unearthing some of the best kept touring stories you'll ever hear, we are back again, bigger and better. Who knew that was even possible?
Huss did. Well, if you're new here, we are Freddie, JC, and Huss from The Band Floors, a three-piece indie pop band from London via Huddersfield. Since we started touring and travelling the globe, we realised that there are so many funny things that happen on and off stage, and so many stories that never get shared with the rest of the world. They just stay in the dressing rooms and tour buses of the bands and artists you love.
Until now!
In this podcast, we are lifting the lid on life on the road, and where better to meet up and tell those touring tales than a place every touring musician knows well. The trusty, crusty, rusty, busty hotel bar.
All right.
Nice.
You covered all the bases there. I don't think there's another usty. We need to get on right.
Usty. The Husty Hotel Bar.
Boom.
In today's episode, we met up with a multi-talented fountain of musical knowledge and living legend, Andy Burrows from Razorlight. Due to a last-minute change of schedule. Due to a last minute change of scheduling, we ended up recording the episode in his dressing room instead of the usual hotel bar. Don't tell anyone.
Meet at the dressing room.
Yeah, nice. I like that. That was totally not planned at all. That was just like off the cuff. I love that.
Cheers, dude. Yeah, I've been working on that off the cuff. Right, Andy is best known probably as being the drummer for indie sensations Razorlight, a band who have sold upwards of 4 million albums, sold out arena tours, and headlined festivals across the world. The band's single, America,
that was nice.
Went to number one here in the UK and was actually written by Andy himself. Outside of Razorlight, Andy has also achieved success as a solo artist, soundtrack composer, actor, and was even a founding member of Ricky Gervais's infamous Foregone Conclusion.
Stay tuned to hear stories of reusable wet wipes, what it's like to be in a band with David Brent, being victims of an accidental assassination attempt, that was hard to say, while returning home from a show in Russia, and how to deal with a drunk bassist who refuses to play anything other than Come As You Are by Nirvana whilst playing the main stage at the Isle of Wight Festival. This is Andy from Razorlight coming up on Meet at the Hotel Bar. Meet at the
Hotel Bar. Cool, we're off.
Snazzy looking machine.
It is, it's a very snazzy. It's actually, we don't have the visual aid, but the listeners will be able to hear what just happened then.
Oh yeah, it's got like pre-recorded jingles in it.
Oh, fantastic.
Studio.
Oh my god, it's unbelievably snazzy.
But it's kind of like jingle roulette. We never know what jingle it's going to
be. We don't know which
throughout.
One we're going to hit.
Oh wow. And I don't know what you're doing. So it could be playing Andy is a wanker. Andy is a wanker.
Yeah, there's a lot of work gone into the pre.
Yeah. The schmuck agreed.
So, welcome, Andy Burrows. Thank you for joining us on this episode.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So, as we were saying before, like this podcast is all about like touring and stories on the road. Let's go straight in.
Jump straight in.
So, first question as always: what would you like to drink?
Well, what I'd like to drink is different from what I'm able to offer you guys. I'd love a cold lager. Would be nice because it
sounds lovely,
you know, something like that. But unfortunately, all we've got is Burton Strong Ale.
Shout out Burton!
Shout out Burton.
We might just have water, but yeah, we'll have a sip. We need to see what it tastes.
Yeah, let's
like.
Try it. Let's try the Burton Ale.
I asked for some beers on my. I said local beers, please, and I guess that's good. I've shot myself in the foot there.
Yeah, we tend to ask for local ones, but Burton Brewery.
So okay, there's a couple of people stepping out, but here you are. Cheers, anybody.
Cheers, guys.
Mmm. That's actually okay, you know.
That's all right.
That's not
that bad.
Oh.
I was expecting.
It was aftertaste.
It's an afterburn there.
Oh, God. Oh, I noticed I've been given the largest. I don't want that. Anyway.
Yeah, look at the size of yours, Jesse.
That wasn't bad. So you've played shows across the world over with a whole host of bands. Let's take it back to day one, though. Tell me about what your memories from the very first tour that you ever did.
The very first tour I ever did would have been with Razorlight in this early 2004.
Okay.
And I think it's fair to say it totally blew my mind because everything I'd done previous to that had been... you know, at very best, maybe a gig with 150 people.
Right, okay.
And you know, and 30 of them I knew. You know what I mean? So it was it was a real eye opener. Like, suddenly, for one, being on a splitter bus with a tour manager, all of this stuff I'd never experienced. And I'd been in bands for absolutely years to zero success. So it literally went from, you know, it was a good 7 years of unsigned struggle to a band who, you know, I mean, to be fair to Razorlight at the time, we were, you know, it was happening. You know, there were queues outside venues and stuff. So my mind was fully blown, for sure.
Yeah. Exciting. I mean, we always go back to those, the first ever, like, but you went straight into the splitter, like,
straight
tour
into
manager.
Which obviously at this, you know, these days, or at least where I am now, all sort of like long in the tooth and cynical. It doesn't seem quite such an exciting prospect. In fact, you know, the idea of getting on a splitter is not very nice, but it's so exciting.
Yeah, so exciting.
You know, everybody together on a bus with a little bit of a crew. It was amazing.
Where did you go on that tour?
It was quite a big UK tour, and Golden Touch had.
Hello.
Oh, hey, Shea. Sorry, mate. Sorry. That's Shea, who plays bass for Gorillaz.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
He's playing on the tour with Katie, with me, and. And he lives next door at the moment.
Absolutely.
So
let's get him on the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, episode
quite a wonderful, inspirational guy.
Yeah,
and it's amazing to be in a band with him. Oh, cool. I feel a bit bad, but let's carry on.
Yeah. And so from all of your days touring, which city would you say is your favourite? And if they're a bit, what is the reason for that being your favourite?
I think I guess it's probably a little bit of a cliche in that it's a lot of people's favourite city, but I'd have to say Paris because it's where I met my wife.
I think that's the first.
Tour.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I think that's, whilst there are, you know, a lot of wonderful cities in here in the UK, there's an abundance of brilliant places to go, that will always have a massive place in my heart because of her. So God, the romance.
Yeah, wow. That's wonderful.
Awesome, yeah.
And Birmingham, of course, where we are right now. Everybody's favourite.
It's the UK's Paris.
Yeah, the UK's Paris.
This is like, so are we like midway through the tour that you're on at the moment? Or
we're not even midway. No, we are, there's another 2.5 weeks to go. We're 2.5 weeks into being together, but we did a week of rehearsal. So, and we did 4 nights in Europe, and then we started in the UK on Thursday last week. So it's still, we're getting into it.
Yeah.
But it's still, yeah, the first third, I'd say.
So looking back over the years of touring, is there a certain travel day or best travel day that comes to mind?
Travel day, oh my God. I mean, gosh, there's so many. Like, you know, the Razorlight ones are pretty hazy. I guess probably the most amazing travel days were probably the ones in America. I guess a lot of people said this before you start getting onto a plane, because you just can't take the bus anymore, you know you're driving, you know, through some incredible scenery and stuff that you were told about as a young'un. I remember us driving through the Rockies, or driving through, you know, I mean, just like going from east to west. It's just incredible. And you wake up at sort of some crazy time in the morning because you can't sleep, and you get up and the sun's coming up and you're, you know, in the middle of the desert or something. It's pretty amazing. So I think it would have to probably hands down be America. We took a train across from, with We Are Scientists, I remember going from Helsinki to St. Petersburg. And that was pretty amazing. And that was really interesting as well, also because the train was really sort of jolly and jovial for the first half of the trip. And then,
and then
we got into Russia, and then it just went full security and dogs for the rest of the trip. It went like full,
oh,
like,
dear. Quite wow. Serious.
Yeah.
How was the gigging in Russia? We've never done a gig in Russia, have we?
It was good. I've been there a lot. We did a bunch with Razorlight, and then I did some with We Are Scientists supporting Muse, and then I did some stuff there with Tom O'Dell. So I've been there a fair few times. I can't say it's somewhere that I'm mad keen to go back to. Not just because of the current, you know, but also it's, I always found it to be quite, you know, like going through customs and all that, it just always feels a bit like they just want to scare you.
Yeah. Didn't you play a show?
I almost played a show in Russia. It got to the point where I had the visa booked. But that was kind of me depping for someone,
right?
For health reasons. Okay. And luckily, they were fit enough to do the show themselves.
So it didn't happen.
Okay. But I've got the visa stamped in
your passport.
Still.
That's all that matters, really.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The visa.
You could have said anything there.
You can make the rest up.
So
The beauty of live gigs is that it doesn't always go to plan. Things go wrong on stage. What comes to mind is the worst thing to happen on stage?
We did a gig with Razorlight where our bass player had gotten so drunk that he couldn't play the bass.
Okay.
So we did a whole, and it was the second from the top billing Isle of Wight Festival on the main stage. So
right.
We were almost headlining it. And we didn't have a note of bass through the whole thing.
Really?
And he kept playing Come As You Are in between the songs. So,
oh my God.
So he was capable of playing some bass.
That's like the first riff you ever learned.
Yeah. But I think that it was such a genius bit of calculated misbehavior on his part. He knew what he was doing. He was behaving like a belligerent child, but it was exceptionally funny. It was quite genius. And then at the end, he got his radio mic and he sort of like did a pendulum action with his arm, swaying it, and the crowd were just going, yeah, throw it, yeah. And he did it for about 10 minutes and he just lobbed this really expensive radio mic into the crowd and we walked off. It was like, and then then it got worse. Then the night got even more dramatic. But that was quite an interesting gig to play. No bass.
Wow. No bass.
No bass in front of.
But he was on stage the whole time, just wasn't playing anything.
Wasn't playing any bass. Rock and roll. Them were the days.
Yeah.
And so do you have any touring top tips, I guess things that you could recommend to new musicians to help life on the road just run that a bit more smoothly?
I mean, I guess I probably do. Whether I'm any good at taking those tips on board myself, I'm not sure. I think it is important it's important to try and look after yourself, but it's not, that's a lot easier said than done. We're back on tour now and immediately you slip into not being very healthy and it's quite full on, it's quite tough. Plus I'm a bit older, so my view of needing to try and, I don't sleep very well, but you should try and get sleep, you try and do a bit of exercise so that you're not going completely nuts. But at the end of the day, most of the tours I've been on all through my life have all just been like no sleep, too much drinking, and just generally just come home feeling completely broken. Yeah. Wet wipes, that's a good bit of advice. Wet wipes just in case. Well, it's just a permanent on the move shower in case you're waiting for the bus to. Also, the thing is for me, I get up so early. So if the bus is outside a venue, I can't get in. So you need it, wet wipes is like your immediate, just get your wet wipes to give yourself quick rub down.
That's not a bad, we've never had that one before.
I always thought wet wipes, when I was a teenager and I used to go to festivals, I was like, wet wipes aren't really the thing anymore though, are they? They're not very, you're not supposed to.
Eco-friendly.
Yeah, they're not very, okay, let's just sack off wet wipes.
Eco-friendly wet wipes.
Yeah, my advice is eco-friendly wet wipes.
Yeah. Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think they're
made out of like bamboo fibre.
Yeah.
So you can flush them.
Yeah.
What about reusable ones? Can you?
Ooh, that doesn't make sense, does it?
I wouldn't reuse a wet wipe.
It's
all about the reusable nappies, am I right?
You're gearing up to dad jokes. Yeah.
Too early.
Dad jokes.
It's not even a joke. Like people do that.
Reusable nappies.
Someone was trying to sell them the other day. No, it's like a nappy, but you like basically wipe all the shit out and then
put them in the wash.
Yeah.
That's for the next podcast.
Yeah.
The baby podcast.
So over the years touring, you must have had a lot of riders showing up to venues. What is the most outrageous thing you've ever put on a rider?
I've got to be honest, I don't think I've ever had anything to do. I was asked to do
Burt and Ale.
I'm not very good at the rider requests. I mean, this rider I've got now is ridiculous. Basically, because I didn't want to be a burden on the. I knew that this tour was called, everyone's trying to work hard, and so I sort of said, "Oh, I'll be all right with a bit of. I'll have some carrots and hummus." And if you say carrots and hummus and local beer, what you end up with, you realise you should have written a lot more. That's all I will say.
We literally do the exact same thing: local beer, carrots, hummus, and pita. Bread.
Yeah,
they'll
only ever read one half of the two words that you've given them. So there'll be some sort of bread, some sort of beer. It'll either be something local that's got nothing to do with booze, or it'll be beer, or carrots won't be. It's crazy. So I went out today and sort of added to our rider. Back in the day, I don't know. I can't. I mean, when we probably had really exciting riders, I just wasn't. I wasn't. I wasn't aware of what was happening anyway, so I don't really know what we did. I know we had some. I know we had everything we ever wanted always.
Mm. That's good.
I remember that's a good rider.
Yeah. I remember. I just had a flashback. I remember doing a festival once, going into the dressing room and there being like the rider was just insane. It was like bottles of champagne like everywhere and like just buckets of beer, just like the whole thing was just like just everything, and we were like, this is amazing. We just like got stuck in and then realized that they'd accidentally put, it was like Noel Gallagher dressing room, like the signs would like put on wrong, and someone ran in and like, oh, you're in Noel's room, get out. And we're like, I don't know why that just came into my head.
Champagne's all been drunk.
Champagne, yeah. So sorry, Noel, if you're listening.
Sorry Noel.
So, what would you consider to be your career highlight? Like, if someone was going to ask you in a pub, like, what's the coolest thing you've done? What would you be your response?
I feel really very grateful for all of the stuff that I've ended up having done, or the opportunities that have come their way for me. So I always feel slightly confused with how to, I mean, because, for instance, I never would have dreamt in a million years that I'd write a song that would go to number one.
Yeah.
And I know that perhaps, I don't know about the importance of a number one song these days. I don't know if it's the same, but certainly, you know, even only 15 years ago, it was a big deal because that's how we'd grown up. So I think that was always something that I thought was just that. Yeah, that was just something that I couldn't quite believe that happened. I think so many things that happened. Headlining Reading Festival is definitely a career. But then I think about like everything with Ricky Gervais and working with him on so many of the projects. I can't believe that's happened. Snowman and Snowdog and getting nominated for a BAFTA. I don't know. I feel very lucky. I feel like I never imagined any of this stuff would happen, to be honest with you. So I just was playing the drums in a band forever, and that's what I wanted to do. So so I don't know. I think all of those things I just boasted about are the things that I feel immensely proud of. But then there's loads of, you know, it's sort of the fact that I've ended up doing a bunch of albums on my own. It's a terrible answer. I don't think I have one, you know, one that stands out as being the only thing that means the most to me, because it all seems a bit nuts to me.
Yeah. The Reading and Leeds thing, we were actually, well, I was at the Leeds gig. Did you get to see Res Light then?
No, I didn't.
Sorry. You had to go see Claxons on the other stage.
I don't think I was there. Well, that's fair enough. I think we'd gone past that, but it was a difficult one for us, that, because we'd spent our couple of years being cool, and then we were entering into the phase of potentially going to be absolutely huge or implode. And that's where we were at, I think, when we headlined Reading. So, you know, it was a controversial choice on the part of Reading, I think, to have us headline, as there often are. There are bands that do it and people are like, oh, they shouldn't be headlining. They're crap. But but it was incredible, you know, and it was, you know, to headline that festival is just, quite frankly, genuinely not something I would ever have imagined in a million years that I would have gone to done. So, yeah. That probably is up there.
That's the dream.
Yeah,
like, we used to go to Leeds Fest every year.
Yeah,
because like we're from Huddersfield, so like that was always like our go to.
Yeah,
and yeah, the dream. We played last year,
2021.
2021.
Wicked.
Which was a bucket list.
Yeah.
Moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's a world renowned rock festival, isn't it? It's incredible. Yeah,
it holds that special place. When you've been going as a kid and you watch bands, and then you go, "Oh crap, I'm on stage at that festival."
Because the chances of you lot getting to do that are pretty much zero. So that's amazing that you did it. I mean, that's the way you got to look at it. The amount of people that would want to do what you did, you know.
Exactly.
That's it. And also, we did a bit of looking up, and we saw basically read your Wikipedia, saw you've supported a bunch of like ridiculous artists, like from like Rolling Stones and The Who and Queen and how were those
shows? That was fine. I mean, it's just, you know, it's great. It was amazing to play alongside and meet those people, but at the same time, you know, you just go there and don't really see anybody, and you go and play and then get off, and it's still a support. It was nuts. It's funny, I know what you mean. On the Razorlight Wikipedia, it always seems to feature really heavily that we supported somebody somewhere, and you're like, oh, but what about like headlining? I don't know. But I can't really, I mean, god, those years were full-on hurricane, you know what I mean? They were like they were bananas. It just seemed like crazy stuff happened every single day every week, every month, every year for a good 5 years. It was just turbo.
Yeah.
It was proper turbo.
And so you spent a bit of time away from Razorlight, didn't you?
Yes, and 12 years.
Yeah. Mm. How did that, like, how does touring now compare to the days back then? Like, is there a, well, is
very,
a different,
yeah,
atmosphere?
Very different. I mean, Razorlight was, you know, it was really, it was very, the touring, it was, we were pampered, I think is probably the best way of, you know, I think relationships within a band were never wonderful. And so I think it was important that everything else felt great. Mm-hmm. So the hotels were always lovely. The travel was always very comfortable. It was, you know, so everything I've done post that has been part of shit. You know, in there, it's all been travel lodges.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot to get used to. No, I don't mean that. It's, I suppose what I'm trying to say is, it, since Razorlight, it's been very varied. I've done lots of different things. Everything I've done on my own, if I ever go and tour any of my own records, we're all squished into a splitter and, yeah, and we're sharing rooms and we're doing that. You know, I'd spent a few years touring with Tom O'Dell, and that was wonderful. And, you know, he does very well around the world. And this tour with Katie is great, you know. But I suppose what I was trying to say is that we were spoilt with Razorlight. You know, I think my intro into being a professional musician was particularly high end.
Yeah.
We got off that splitter bus. You know, I was talking about that first tour.
Yeah.
We got off that splitter bus pronto. It was only about 3 months later we were. That was it. We never went back to a splitter. So, but I've been back to a splitter, very much so.
Yeah, I think it's good to go back to a splitter. We love splitters.
It's good. I think it's good to. I also do think genuinely it's very healthy to. I feel very grateful for having gone back and gone up and down and up and down and up and down constantly, because it's like, it does. I know it's like a very predictable thing to say, but it is quite a grounding thing, because in an otherwise quite ludicrous occupation.
Yeah, yeah. I think it also reaffirms why you do it as well.
Yeah,
you,
of course.
Going out every night and playing your instrument, which you love doing.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So sitting on a splitter bus for 3 hours isn't going to stop you doing that. I mean, it's nice. It's humbling.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're very right.
Very cool.
Here's to the splitter bus.
Yes. Amen. And yeah, amen. Cheers. to all the Mercedes Sprinters out there. We love you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so on to my personal favourite section of the podcast. This is the beef section. So you want to press a random jingle just to see?
The beef section.
So this is the section where you get to...
We should do that. We should add. We should make little... The beef sec. Beef.
We'll put it in afterwards, don't worry.
The beef section.
This is the section where you get to air any beef that you may have had with any artists across the world, on Twitter, backstage, in dressing rooms, on stage, or just if there's been any interesting beef that's happened.
Well, I don't think I'm not particularly beefy. I don't really feel like there's many people I've fallen. I think sadly the most beefsome it's ever gotten is with Johnny in the band in Razorlight. I don't think I've ever fallen out with anybody out, you know.
That's good. That's the way to
that
be.
That is a good trick.
I think so.
It's a trick question, basically.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, well, there we go.
If you said anything, I'd be like, what an awful human.
No, I don't think I have. I don't think I've got... I'm pretty sure I haven't got any meaningful beef.
This could be your chance to create some beef.
Oh, gosh. I'm not... I'm way too diplomatic. Yeah. Would be fun. It would be fun to spend a day just being an arsehole.
Yeah. Just get it all out.
Yeah, just get it all out. Yeah.
You have to ride on a splitter van first just to get really angry.
Just get really mad and then just go for it. Let loose, yeah.
Get a few Burtons down.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, this leads us nicely into the quick fire round. So basically, it's the first thing that comes to mind. So when... if we were to say cats, you would say
dogs.
Yeah. And you can either just say one. You can either go with a one-word answer, or you can go with an explanation.
A huge anecdote.
Exactly, a huge anecdote. Yeah. So first question number one: when we say foregone conclusion, you say
best band in the world. It has to be longer than that.
I mean, you can't.
No, I mean, full conclusion. I mean, what, you know, it's incredible. I'd be in a band with David Brent.
Yeah. Iconic.
You know, it's just the best thing ever. I couldn't believe it when that started to kick off. What was my name? Andy Burford. Andy Burford. I remember Ricky trying to think of something different for my name. And I was like, come on, dude, you've changed like four letters.
Did you do that for all of the band?
Stu, my man who's here with me tonight, he's Stu Monkford.
Okay.
Who is the only one who's linked to somebody in the office, I think. He's like he's supposed to be like the nephew of Mammogram.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's cool.
I get confused. And then the other two were made up too. But it was basically my band that I had at the time I was on tour doing my solo act stuff.
Right.
And it was my band, and then he called up and I was like, well, we'll just invert the band and I'll jump on the drums, and we became Foregone Conclusion.
It was so wicked. Good. And was that his name, Foregone Conclusion?
Yeah, that's in the office when they're doing Free Love Freeway.
Oh, yeah.
When they all sat in the circle. Okay. I think he's talking about his band, and that was, he says, oh, I used to be in a band, Foregone Conclusion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it genuinely is the stuff of office legend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's nuts, isn't it?
It's bonkers.
Yeah. I'm hoping we play again, actually. He did say he wants, he said he'd like to do one more gig before he dies, so I think there must be a chance.
And how are the gigs playing?
They're awesome. They're really, really good.
The real gigs, not
for the real gigs, they're brilliant. Yeah. They're a lot of fun.
I didn't know they happened, actually.
We did. Before the film came out in 2016, and the 2 years before that, we spent just doing random gigs. We did a few little tours. I say tours, they're like, he would only do like, it'd be like three really posh dates, really lovely theatres. But they were wicked. They're brilliant. He's been taught, you know, we do sometimes talk about doing like a, you know, like an afternoon slot at Glastonbury or Latitude or something. That'd be amazing.
That would go down. Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Like, so well. Yeah. Like the legend slot.
Well, you need to big it up. I mean, like, he gets excited, and then he pours cold.
It should
water,
be like an unannounced thing.
Yeah.
Like he just comes on.
David Brent just walks on stage. Yeah.
that would go via, like,
I'm gonna
would
keep,
love that.
I'm going to keep, I'll keep trying to persuade him.
When we say America,
I'd probably say, I'd probably say Razorlight, wouldn't I? Probably, I guess. America, the country, is obviously a wonderment to us all. Mm-hmm. I lived there for a couple of years. I lived in New York for a couple of years. You know, it's great. But I think if someone says American, I think they've heard our song.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is an incredibly arrogant feeling.
I must be thinking that every day, like America. What?
I think it's just been quite a big thing in my life. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I think about. I don't know why. I don't really know what I'm talking about. America is, you know, the land of the free. Oh. That's what I think when you say America.
Okay, when we say Alexander Litvinenko.
I know why you've been on our Wikipedia.
The Wikipedia is coming up strong.
You've been on Wikipedia. Fake news. So we went over there to play a show, and we stayed in this hotel in Moscow. And we sat there for about 3 days, and then the show got cancelled because something to do with the mafia didn't want it to happen or something. And then some other group of people said, oh, we can do it over here. The whole time we're sat in a gorgeous 5-star hotel on Red Square. I mean, just waiting to do whatever the show is. But, and then so a new bunch of people, and then the police shut it down because the venue hasn't got the right something or whatever. So after day four, we just get back on the plane and come home. But that plane had the poison, the guys with the poison, I guess, like in a briefcase or however they travelled with the poison. Wow. They were on the flight before ours. So we landed, we got whizzed to like a medical centre or something to be checked.
Checked over.
Yeah.
And was everyone okay? Everyone was
okay. But it was quite scary for
it's
a couple.
Pretty wild.
It was quite weird to land and be like, yeah, it was nuts actually. It was.
And also quite, I'm sure it would have been quite worrying at the time. Well, you didn't know like what level of.
Yeah, it's like, oh, maybe we're about to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which would have been an abrupt end to a.
pretty dark.
I'll go with the golden tour.
Yeah. On stage.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we say Johnny Burrell, you say.
I think it
can be a one word answer. Can
we can also beep and edit things out as well.
I think he's all sorts of things go through my incredible.
This is why it's incredible, good to have a visual.
Incredible I mean, he's one of the last rock and roll frontmen, that's for sure. He's old school. I mean, he's an incredible performer and frontman and singer and all of those things. You know, personally, when someone says Johnny Burrell, all sorts of things go on in my head. We've had a very intense and complicated time together. So yeah, yeah, my when someone says his name, I get a slight
twitch.
Yeah. But I also got endless respect for the guy as well. So, and we're playing together and writing together again these days to a point. So it's God, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough to know what to say. I don't know. I try and be honest about it. Really, we've got a complicated relationship. He's wonderful. He's great. He's a superstar. But he's complicated.
That's great. That's a good good roundup of the answer.
Yep.
When we say Mercury Records,
I guess that was our record label. So I guess Mercury Records again, a little bit like with America, which is completely arrogant and ridiculous because loads of people have been signed to Mercury Records. But immediately flashes up is like Richard O'Donovan, our A&R guy, and I don't know, offices somewhere in Kensington, and being like wined and dined for a few years, thinking you're the dog's bollocks and the next big thing. Mercury Records, that's what makes me think of. Some very heady days, exciting times. It was, we'd dream for, I mean, you guys have got a record deal, but, I dreamt for all my teenage years about, wouldn't it be amazing to have a record deal? And so Mercury was our
life-changing
label home, yeah.
Okay, so finally, when we say Andy Burrows, you say?
Oh, God.
We're getting deep.
What do we say? I don't know. Like, massive, tangled mess of a human being. Andy Burrows, I don't know. What does anybody else say? What does anyone else say about themselves? Do they say things confidently about themselves?
It always catches people off guard. Yeah. They're not ready for it.
I'm still confused. Mm-hmm. By everything in the world, as we all are, but also in my tiny corner of the world, I'm trying to figure out what the hell is what happened. I was bumbling along trying to make it as a drummer in a band, and then it all happened, and ever since then I'm confused. You know what I mean? I feel like that I thought that happening would mean I'm like, oh, right. Yeah. I was right. I know what's going on. And all it's done is made me more confused. So mm-hmm. I'm more confused than ever. But I'm starting to think maybe that's how I want to be. Mm-hmm. A constant state of confusion.
Confusion's good sometimes. Sometimes if you've got, if you know everything, it's boring.
Yeah.
If it's too straightforward.
I don't want that boring
exactly.
shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. You want to be in the maze, not on the straight and narrow.
100%. There you go.
That's a tattoo.
There you go.
Yeah. Is
that's
it?
My next tattoo.
Yeah, oh, that's your next, yeah.
The maze.
Yeah.
I want to be in the maze.
You heard it here first, everyone.
We're in the maze.
Brilliant. Well, that rounds up everything. If you do you have anything else that you want to add for the people listening?
Coming up.
Any?
Well, this tour is happening with Katie at the moment and Shea, who you just saw, and then it's a week off, and then we go straight into the Razor Light tour, which I'm really excited about, and then some festivals. And then I got a bunch of other stuff going on, but it's always a bit scary to talk about things that might be happening because it's like you just don't want to jinx anything. I mean, I'm even going to do that, and who knows? That's probably not even wood.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
It's all still going, so it's great. Yeah. I feel very lucky. Good luck to you lads. That's what I say.
Oh, thank you.
Good luck to the band. Good luck for everything with you lot.
Nice one. Well, thank you. For being here, we really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you.
We're mates now. So we'll see you at Glastonbury before conclusion.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 We'll do a warm up gig and you come support.
Okay,
that sounds perfect. Yeah. Just make sure we bring the Burton ale.
Yeah, yeah.
We need the Burton ale.
That's all the rider will be.
That's all I need.
Yeah, that and a pot of hummus.
Yeah, no carrots
and wet wipes.
And wet wipes.
Bamboo wet wipes.
I tell you what, if you've got those four things in life, you're sorted.
And have a great show tonight and a great tour.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Nice one.
Thanks.
All right. A huge thanks to Andy for being part of the podcast and to the makeshift dressing room hotel bar in Birmingham Symphony Hall.
We couldn't do this podcast without you guys listening, so a huge thanks to you for being part of the Floors family. And if you do like what you hear, then let us know, because there's nothing better than getting a little DM or message saying how much you enjoyed a certain story.
or how our sultry tones help bring to life an otherwise
long... Or our coldy tones.
Yeah. Oh, God. How our bunged up tones help bring to life an otherwise long and boring morning commute for you.
Make sure you like, comment and subscribe anywhere and everywhere you can. It's all about the algorithm. You can find us most places at Meet at the Hotel Bar or meetatthehotelbar.com. It really does make such a difference for us. We're an independent podcast and trying to climb those big bad podcast charts is hard enough. We need you.
Join us next time when we'll be chatting to Alice Merton. You can expect stories of nightmare flights to Prague, what it's like to start your own record label, how to remove a tick from your behind, and why margarine is a non-negotiable on a rider. Only on